are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1, and let us read just a few verses from that first chapter. Verse 29, beginning in verse 29. Now, tonight we want to speak to you on the Holy Spirit. Last two Wednesday nights we spoke to you on the personality of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we want to speak to you on the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And we want to finish that message tonight. I'd like to spend at least one more, maybe two more, Wednesday nights in dealing with present day philosophies of the Holy Spirit, and deal at length with the charismatic attitude towards the Holy Spirit and the tongues movement towards the Holy Spirit. So you want to be sure and be in those meetings and hear those messages. But tonight we want to speak about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Taking the words from John in verse 29, we read, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." The purpose of the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? There are a lot of things we could say, but we want to get to what we call the bedrock ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want to get to the main line, the main theme and purpose of the Holy Spirit. And first of all, it is in bringing about the salvation of the lost. Keep in mind the bringing about of the salvation of the lost. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That is not all of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, but it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in bringing about the salvation of the lost. Now you keep that in mind, and as you read the Bible and you read of all of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, don't stop short. Read on to the end, and you'll find so many of the scriptures in the Bible lead toward that ultimate end and work of the Holy Spirit in reaching the lost for whom Christ died. He leads us, he guides us, he teaches us, he gives us power in all of these things. But all of these are avenues in our life while we are accomplishing something through these avenues. They lend and leading us towards that ultimate end, and that is that person without the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for sinners. It's the love of God to save sinners. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and that sinners could be saved. Now, how is the Holy Spirit to be used in this purpose of reaching the lost for whom Christ died? Well, it is in lifting up Christ. Simply in lifting up Christ and bringing about conviction by doing so. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to bring about salvation of the lost in the lifting up of Christ. That's why I read these verses from John's Gospel. It is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also our ministry to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John in chapter 15 and look in verse 26. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. In other words, when the Holy Spirit is come, he shall testify of me. And so it is the Spirit's God, Spirit's job in lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 16 and in verse 8 through 11, look at these verses. And when he, the Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And you can see that the Spirit of God, the author of this book, the one who inspired these writers to write God's word in this book, begins with this very thing. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Why? Because they believe not on me. So when the Holy Spirit has come, he will lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall lift me up. He shall testify of me. He shall glorify me. Receive of mine and shall show it unto you, so that you and I then can lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the vessels that the Holy Spirit seeks to use and to control to lift up Christ to a dying world that they might be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, would you look back in John chapter 1 again? Notice here what John is doing. It is said of John the Baptist in the Bible that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, from his mother's womb. And so here is a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice what this Spirit-filled, anointed man is doing. One other place in the scripture, Jesus said, he must increase, I must decrease. This is the attitude of every Christian, or should be. Notice what he said when in verse 29 he said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, this is he. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Ladies and gentlemen, anytime you and I can keep Christ in the forefront in our life, in the rear, we're headed in the right direction. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You just lift me up, I'll do the drawing. You just hold me up. Hold me up when you go to work. Hold me up when you go to the restaurant. Hold me up in the home. Hold me up to your children. Hold me up to your loved ones. Hold me up to the lost. And he said, if you hold me up, I'll do the drawing. You know, I think sometimes we get it backwards. And I guess we get our results. We work hard at trying to get men saved. And I think we do get them saved sometimes. But God doesn't get them saved. We work so hard at getting the results, we get our own results. When if we spend the time like the Bible says we ought to do it in lifting and holding and presenting the Lord Jesus Christ, he will draw all men. And when Christ draws men to himself, when he saves them, then they're saved. That's why we need to preach Christ. We need to sing Christ. We need to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lift him up. He needs to be preeminent in all that we do and all that we say. Let's paint about him. Let's write about him. Let's sing about him. Let's write poems about him. Let's preach about him. Let's teach about him. Let's pass out tracts about him. Let's hold him up. Let's be like John said, this is he. I told you there was one coming that was preferred above me. This is he. This is he. This is the one. I stood there after the baptism in Jordan. I was an eyewitness. I saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Son of God. So John doesn't leave any mistake about who the Lord Jesus is. In verse 29, he said, this is the Lamb of God. But to be sure you didn't make a mistake, he said in verse 34, this is the Son of God as well as the Lamb of God. What we need to do is lift up the Lord Jesus. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And when he is come, he will not testify himself. He shall testify me. He shall lift me up. Now, if you want to put the real working of the Spirit of God to a test, you look at the end of the thing, not the beginning of it. Most of this Holy Ghost business of today puts the emphasis and gives the credit to the Holy Ghost. And attention is drawn to the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost said, I have not come to magnify my name nor my ministry, but I've come to magnify him, the Lord Jesus. Huh? He shall not speak of himself. He doesn't run around a man filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. They're synonymous. He doesn't run around and say, look what I'm doing in the Holy Ghost. A Spirit-filled man, very humbly, tenderly, compassionately says, This is He. This is He. This is He. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Would you look there with me? Acts 5, verse 32. And we are His witnesses of these things. What are things? That verse 31 says that God exalted the Lord Jesus to His right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance unto Israel, forgiveness of sins. He said, we are His witnesses of these things. We are His witnesses. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Obey Him in what? That obey Him in carrying out that command, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I personally do not believe that a man can be filled with the Holy Spirit and not be a witness for Jesus Christ. I don't believe that God is going to fill a man who has no intention, no desire, no brokenness for the lost world for whom Christ died. These great preachers, every one of them, are men who have great compassion and concern for lost souls. Your greatest churches in the nation today and in the world today and yesterday, when their pastors were alive, were men who had a great burden for the lost and lifting up Jesus Christ to the lost. Dr. Warren Wiersbe has recently resigned the Moody Memorial Church to go into evangelism. Probably Dr. Wiersbe has done one of the greater works that has been done in that church since the days of Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody packed them in by the thousands. The Spurgeon Tabernacle now has but just a few hundred who attended when they came by the multitudes and by the thousands to hear Spurgeon preach. Why are they empty now? What made the difference? Moody was a man, Dwight L. Moody was a man with a burden and a compassion to see the lost saved and come to Jesus Christ, and they lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ in the salvation of souls. Did you know your greatest churches, ladies and gentlemen, are soul-winning churches? Soul-winning churches, huh? They're not the deep. And I don't know how to say one without trying to keep little emphasis upon the other, but I'm simply saying, learn all the Bible you can, but everything you learn, channel it in to lifting up Jesus. Channel it in to help you to win souls for whom Jesus died. Holy Spirit, when He has come, He shall not testify of me. He shall testify of Jesus. You lift up Jesus Christ, you're opening the door wide open for the Holy Spirit to draw those men. He can't draw unless we've been lifted up, unless a man sees something and hears something. Then the Holy Spirit can draw that lost man to Jesus. I go to talk to people about being saved. I talk to them about Jesus. There are folks I've led to Christ in this congregation and I've baptized. And I talk to them about Jesus, 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 Jesus. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? It is to lift up Christ. If you want an example of it, You'll find when we read in John's gospel, it said, when he is come, he shall testify me. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me as the Holy Ghost is. If you'll read the first chapters of the book of Acts, you'll find that when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, nobody told him what to preach. He didn't go down to the local bookstore and get a set of outlines. He didn't attend the nearest Bible conference and hear the greatest preachers and get him an outline. Where did he get it? How did he know what to preach? Who told him? Simply when the day of Pentecost was coming, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. He immediately stood up and said, as he lifted up Jesus and said, you crucified the Lord of glory. This is the Christ, the Son of God. You read it. He preached Jesus to them. And the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. When we lift up Christ, that's why we must be careful in our preaching. That's why we must be careful in our singing. We must have preaching and singing and teaching that is directed directly to the hearts of men, not to the heads or their feet. I like good music. I enjoy good music. And I can enjoy some Christian music outside of church that I can't in church. Because there's music that makes me feel good, but then there's music that's directed to my heart to stir my spiritual emotions and feelings towards getting saved and receiving Christ as Savior and exalting the Lord Jesus. We must be careful of what we sing. We must be careful of what we preach. We must be careful of what we teach, so that in all of it, the Holy Spirit can draw men to Christ. Amen. So the Bible says he must increase, I must decrease. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's his ministry. It's his purpose in bringing about the salvation of the lost, in bringing conviction, and also bringing about the final work of salvation. It's all of the Holy Spirit. We are simply the instrument to lift him up. As John said, the Spirit of God does the rest. John chapter 3, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, born from above. The Spirit of God must do the work in your heart. And we need more people walking our aisles and joining our churches and going through our baptistries that the Spirit of God has done something in there. I believe in old-fashioned repentance of sins and getting saved and letting the Spirit of God do the work in men's hearts. We are notorious joiners in this generation. You can get Americans just about to join anything with relative ease. My brother, when it comes to souls walking these aisles, boys and girls and men and women, that's why we must deal carefully with every boy. We must deal carefully with every teenager. We must deal carefully with every girl. We must deal carefully with every person who walks this aisle to the very best of our ability, so that the Spirit, so we can present truth, so that the Spirit of God can take that truth and bring that child, that boy, that man, or that woman spiritually into the family of God, lest we just baptize them into the church. Amen? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Would you look there with me? Verse 3, chapter 3. For we ourselves also were disobedient, foolish. We're also sometimes disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I think we need to be careful how we deal with men about being saved. Now, I think it's good if you can get 200 a year. But if you get 150 of them and the Holy Spirit only gets 50, you haven't done too much. Huh? We need to be careful how you deal with men about Christ. I'm afraid in many places, if you're not careful, we turn them out and link together like hot dogs. This is not a factory for turning out hot dogs. Each one is individual. Each one is separate. We want the Spirit of God to do work in their hearts. Amen? We want the real thing. What we get, I want to keep for the glory of God, don't you? Brother, when you get something and it doesn't grow, there's something wrong. When you baptize a fella and he's not an inch spiritually taller 2 years later than he was the day you baptized him, something's wrong. Any numbskull knows that. When a baby's born and it's 2 years old and it's no longer, it weighs no more, has no more actions than the day it was born, any numbskull knows there's something wrong. Brother, there's something wrong with a lot of folks we baptize these days. Baptize them and you can't find them. You have to coax them and pacify them and everything else. Try to get them to go to church to hear the Word of God and learn the Word of God and all of these things. I don't know about you. It just wasn't that way with me. Huh? I liked it then. I like it now. Been enjoying salvation for some almost 27 years now. It's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Huh? I haven't found anything wrong with it. It's found a lot wrong with me, but I haven't found anything wrong with it. It's still good. Huh? Yet I know some folks that just like dry sticks. They never put on a blossom. Never put on a bloom. Brother, you can take something that's alive and you put it in the water and you set it in the ground, it's going to grow. But I guarantee you one thing. You can take that thing. I guarantee you can water that all you want to and it won't grow, thank God. I guarantee it won't grow. You take it out there and plant it and it won't grow. I guarantee you take it out there and plant it and I guarantee you won't grow. Because it doesn't have any life in it, huh? I didn't say it wasn't no good. I said just said it doesn't have any life in it. But you can take something that's a little thing that's got some life in it, put it down, nourish it a little bit, it'll grow, huh? Boy, we got a lot of dead sticks. And our churches all across this nation. The trouble was they were dead sticks when they went in the baptistry. Dead sticks when they came out. You know what makes the difference? The real work of the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't minimize for one single minute our outreach and our tenacious spirit that we ought to have for trying to get people saved. I think we ought to go at it. I think we ought to talk with everybody. I think we ought to try to get everybody saved. I don't think we ought to pass up anybody. Try to get everything and everybody saved. But let's let God's Spirit do it, huh? Huh? I like fellas get saved like Grady. Now, Grady, don't you backslide on me. That fella got saved. How long have you been saved, Grady? You got to look in his Bible. But he knows he's got it down. He's got it in there. I guarantee you. But I like a guy that got saved that day and sitting on the same pew. One, two, three, sit four back every time, fourth row. That's the way it ought to go, amen? When the Spirit of God does a work in your life, we've come to the place somehow today, we think we can do God's business without God's Spirit, without God's work, without His power, that we can produce without Him. We can't. Those churches could function after the rapture. They'd go on just like normal. As long as they had their mimeograph machine, they'd go right on down the line. They could print the Sunday program, and they wouldn't miss a lick. They'd just go right on down. Everybody know when to sing, when to sit down, when to stand, when to say amen, when to go home. Right? God's Spirit makes the difference. And that's what makes the difference in our church. Brother, we want to so preach, so live, so sing, and so teach until we know we got God's Spirit in this place, and you can tell the difference where the Spirit of God is and where He isn't. Now, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Purpose of the Holy Spirit, number one, is to bring about the salvation of the lost. And that is in bringing conviction and also bringing about the final work of salvation. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Then, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to give you these of these scripture verses tonight so you may have them in closing. It is not only in lifting up Christ and bringing about salvation, but it is producing the qualities of service. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to produce those qualities in us for Christian service. In other words, if I'm going to teach, if God calls me to teach, if God calls you to teach, or God calls you to be a minister on the bus or whatever, then it's the Holy Spirit, then it's going to enable you and give you the qualities for that service. And if it isn't the Holy Spirit working in you, in your teaching, your preaching, and your singing, or whatever you're doing, then I guarantee you it's not going to bring the results that it ought to. Now, we got the idea we can just do anything we want to and do it in the flesh and never depend upon the Holy Spirit to do it. I think everything you ought to do, we ought to rely and depend and say, this is a quality of the Holy Spirit for Christian service, preaching is, and I'm going to do it and seek to do it in His power and His direction. I think every usher ought to usher in the power of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? Every usher ought to usher in the power of the Holy Ghost. Every usher ought to take as serious his ushering as I do preaching. And when he takes his ministry lighter than I do mine, then we're going to be weak in that area. Amen? Come on, say amen. In everything we do, in anything we do, everything we do we ought to take it just as serious as if you were standing up here preaching, because all of it is the quality of the work of the Holy Spirit. Our secretaries type our letters. We type our letters in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's right. Work on those buses. Why, HN over here, and I don't doubt that, Roy Callan. Did you know we have to have Holy Ghost mechanics? We got the idea that, you know, preacher, he's the only one. I don't care what you do. If you're active in service of any way, that's a quality of service that is to be produced by the Holy Spirit. Did you know if everybody did their job and their ministry under the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have so much yeah about it? Huh? The Bible said in the book of Acts, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they had all things common, and they walked in one accord, the Scripture says. And the only thing that made the difference, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. When I hear a yelling, I said, go get you a drink. Come on, go get you a little drink. Your tank's running dry. Something wrong with you. So, it's the Holy Spirit's job in producing qualities for service. And I'm going to give you those qualities and we'll close. Turn with me to John chapter 14. I wouldn't give you everything that there is, but I want to give you the qualities for service, which are the types of services that is produced by the Holy Spirit that we are the most familiar with. And many of them that we really don't think little, we think very lightly of, but they're very important ministries. But John 14 and in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." So it is the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to teach us all things. Teach us all things. Then, "and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why? Because the Holy Spirit will help you. He will aid you. He will teach you. The Bible says that he will guide you. He will lead you and he will guide you into all truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And I think very seriously maybe of quitting tonight and extending this onto this particular point. The quality in the Christian that the Holy Spirit alone can produce. But turn with me, Galatians. Let's look at it quickly tonight. Galatians 5, verse 22. "But the fruit..." All right, I want to stop right there. "But the fruit..." So there's a conjunction, "but..." Something must have been very important that's related to this prior. "But" is a conjunction. Look at it, if you would, in verse 19. Here's the connection. The "but" verse 22 separates them. Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and of such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in times past, that they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit..." This is a quality that only the Spirit of God can produce. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, only the Holy Spirit is going to produce those qualities in your life. If there is a quality of long-suffering or gentleness or goodness in your life and it is not produced by the Holy Spirit, it is shallow and it is fleshly and it's got holes in it and it'll run out pretty quick. But love produced by the Holy Spirit will keep on producing. Gentleness of the Holy Spirit will always be gentle. And long suffering produced by the Holy Spirit will continue to be long suffering. It's so many of these characteristics we try to duplicate. And we try to do in our own energies. That's why they fail. So, the qualities of the Holy Spirit in service. Fruit bearing. Then the power to act. We find that in the book of Acts. Especially the first chapter. That is for daily living and for witnessing. Would you turn with me to Corinthians, and I'll close with this, I believe, in First Corinthians chapter 12. Look in these verses. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are many things, and if you would like to look at the different qualities or the different services that the Holy Spirit renders severally differently in our lives, you may read them in here. To one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit one all. To one is given by the same Spirit of wisdom, the other of knowledge, faith, and so on. So it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to our living, the key to victory, the key to everything. It's no wonder that he said, "Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God."
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, PreachTheBible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit KNVBC.com for Christian music you can trust.